Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back at it with Duncan Idaho in an ornithopter running for his life.
That's right. So successfully, might I add.
Yep. Well, as so far successfully, yes. As far as we know, because we left off the last minute with Duncan doing this big, you know, kind of 360, you know, around this open market area. And then minute ends with the laser gun penetrating the wall of that market. And we don't know if Duncan's going to make it out. Spoilers. He does.
He does.
He continues to just kind of blow through the city, gets to another kind of market area, does like another
twirly maneuver.
Twirly. Yeah. that's the way that I would describe it. A twirly maneuver to then like find a way to get up out of the market.
Yep.
And then like Leto before him cuts the wings on his, cuts the power to the wings on the ornithopter and just does a little descent under a dust storm.
And I think you'll agree with this. I'm going to contend that this dive maneuver that Duncan does is way more impressive than the one that Leto did. Because he dives into nothing. He does not see what's at the bottom of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he's going into a dust storm at night. Like he can't see shit.
Yeah. So the fact that he doesn't just like run himself into the side of a building or something.
Or just the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So super impressive. So Duncan, yeah, he's got some skills.
Yeah. No, Duncan's a fucking badass, dude.
Yeah.
And then the last we see of his thopter is just the lights on the, you know, on the tail and the front. Under the dust, kind of going away.
Yep, flying off into the distance.
And then we cut back to the inside of the palace.
Yes, we do. And we get a bunch of Harkonnen soldiers walking down a hallway.
And one Harkonnen floating down a hallway.
That's right, yep. The Baron has returned officially. He's back, baby! I think the last we saw him was when he was rising up saying, my Arrakis, my Dune.
Vladdy's back again.
No friends to tell because they're all dead. Oh. So,
well, that's sad.
Well, he killed him. So that's what happens in a siege,
I guess.
He's back. He's floating down the hallway with his men.
Yep.
And amongst them, they're not all Harkonnens, amongst them is a very bedraggled looking UA.
Yes.
He is looking pretty rough for wear, honestly.
Yeah, he's kind of going through it today.
Yeah. I like that he like brushes the hair off of his forehead, giving us a nice view of the tattoo.
Of the Sook symbol on his forehead, yeah.
Kind of reminding, just gives us a reminder that he used to be a friend of the Atreides.
Hey, this guy's kind of a dick.
Yeah, yeah. We don't stay on him too long, though. By the way, we're booking our way through these notes because there's not a lot that happens in this minute. We get flashes of different scenes, but we don't stay with any one of them long enough to like get a lot.
Yeah, from I think that hallway sequence at most is 10 seconds.
Yeah,
like it's not a lot at all.
So,
it's important because like we very clearly see that the Harkonnens have taken over the palace.
Yeah,
like
they're there. They're walking.
There's no opposition. Question. Yeah.
Yeah. No opposition is there to greet them at all.
Yep. But then we go back to a different ornithopter.
Mm-hmm.
We're back with Paul and Jessica. So at this point, we see that the ornithopter is actually out in the deep desert.
Yep.
It is, you know, fully made it away from the city and everything. And, you know, both Paul and Jessica are still bound to their chairs with one guard sitting between them. So, you know, if we had to kind of visualize it, you know, Paul and the guard are sitting directly side by side with each other. Jessica is then across from the guard.
Yeah.
And then at the front is the deaf guard and the pilot sitting together. Well, the deaf guard's kind of like still looking back towards
the seats swivel, and he's like swiveled, turned around towards the back.
What's the like? It's like a regular flight attendant chair where they're sitting backwards, like looking at everyone in the plane in the jump seat. Yeah,
yeah. So this guard that's between them
is the worst flight attendants ever, by the way.
Right. Yeah, they're not fun. They do not have the passenger safety in mind
at all. At the start, before they leave, they're doing the whole sequence and the everything. They have the little belt and the like face mask. Please put your mask on before helping someone else.
Yeah. So we get kind of a close up on Jessica's face, and she looks over and she notices something on Paul's seat.
Yep.
And it is the same diamond that we were just so lovely reintroduced to. The same diamond that is tattooed on UA's forehead. It is carved into like the post of Paul's seat.
It's like the frame.
Yeah.
It's just etched in there.
Yep.
Very, and very quickly. It's not a very clean.
Yeah. It was just kind of four lines. That's it. And she looks quizzical at it for a second and then notices, something below Paul's seat, like a bag or like some kind of tarp or something like that.
It's a bag that's like underneath, piece of cloth or whatever to kind of obscure it a little bit, but it's definitely like the outline of a backpack that you can see.
Yep. And yeah, I mean, we know from later on in the movie that this is something that UA has placed there.
Yeah. We also know from earlier too, that UA said that he was going to do everything that he could to help Paul.
Yep.
I guess this is the best that he could have done.
Yeah, well, I mean, it turns out to be enough, I guess, for later. But so we just see UA coming through on his promise to help them out.
Yep.
The camera kind of moves, or sorry, we cut back to the guard saying, "I've never had a highborn." Now, this guard, and I need your help on this one. He is named in the books.
Okay.
The name is spelled Czigo. In my head, I was like, is that Shigo? Like Zigo, I guess.
Oh God.
Maybe if it's more like a modern day, like Polish, should be like Chigo.
I'm going to go with Chigo, but
okay. We'll go with Chigo.
Probably wrong. Don't yell at us if you're Polish.
Correct us. That would be nice.
Only one of my grandparents is Polish, but like they never spoke Polish around me or anything, so I don't know how if I can pronounce it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to go with Chigo.
I know how to eat pierogies. I'm real good at that.
You're halfway there, I guess. we're going to go with Chigo then, with the full understanding that that is probably wrong.
Yeah.
So in the books here, and I'm jumping ahead to my book notes because that's kind of where the minute ends.
The minute actually ends with "I've never had."
Okay, well,
but
we're just going to finish the sentence off then.
I'll accept, you know, two more words.
Okay, fair enough. Chigo and Kinnett, if you remember back from Monday's minute,
yep,
Kinnett is the name of the Death Guard. Yep. So in the books here, it's just the four of them in the ornithopter. So we got Paul, Jessica, Chigo, Kinnett. There's no fifth pilot. Okay. So the pilot and Chigo are one character.
Got it.
In the book. They even go so far as to explicitly mention that it's a tight fit in the ornithopters with those four people in there. So Harkonnen ornithopters are not, or at least this one in particular, is not meant to carry people. It is almost like a fighter jet, you know?
Whereas the ornithopter for the movie obviously had to be large enough to have cameras and film crew and everything inside of it as well. So I'll give it to them on that one.
There is a chapter a little bit later in the book, but not too much later, that we get. That goes into explaining what Jessica just saw underneath Paul's seat with UA's symbol and the bag. Even in the books, UA is trying to help out Paul and Jessica as much as possible. He gets brought before the Baron, and the Baron's real busy, so he can't talk to him right now. And he's like, UA stressed because he still needs to go prepare this ornithopter for them. Prior in the book, like when we get to know, or when we see that scene where Jessica and the Baron and Piter are talking, as they're taking them out to the ornithopter, Chigo or one of them, either Chigo or Kinnett, says, you know, is this the ornithopter that was prepared for us? And that was alluding to the one that UA had put together and made sure was, you know, desert worthy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a big point in the book that UA has done stuff to help them out. Something we don't see in the movie that is called out in the books is that the bag isn't the only thing that he's done. The other thing that he did is on the shoulder straps that are holding Jessica and Paul in, he's almost like cut through them.
Kind of pre-cut a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah. Jessica notices that it's cut through almost to where like one like forceful burst forward would break it.
A good tug.
Yeah. A good tug would just break it. So he's done some other stuff to try to help them out, which is, you know, good on him. Kind of a piece of shit still, but good on him.
Kind of.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we are at the book. I'm jumping around from chapters to chapters as we're going here, so it's not like any one moment of the book, but they all tie in together really well with what we're seeing in the books.
Sure.
Seen in the movie from the books.
The movie does a really good job of keeping the story as linear as possible amongst, you know,
yeah,
four or five more different storylines or whatever. So
yep.
There's going to be a little more jumping with the book that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really have anything more for this minute. Honestly, there's not a ton, as we say, it's a short minute.
Yeah.
But we do see that, you know, UA is upholding his promise as much as he can.
Yeah.
To Leto. So
yeah, that's right. All right, cool. Well, that'll do it for today. We'll be back to see exactly what happens in this ornithopter tomorrow.
Yep.
And as always, you can reach out to us on socials. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on Gmail. You know the addresses. I'm not going to say them.
I will.
Okay.
On Instagram, @TheDuneMinute. On Twitter, @DuneMinute. And DuneMinute@gmail.com if you want to email us. Feel free to also rate and like on iTunes. It helps us out. And we will be back tomorrow with a Thursday episode for more of Dune.
Cool. See you then.